Returning again to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Last time we were together, we dealt with the exhortation of the apostle to Timothy, where Paul used himself as an example. And Paul does this all the time in his epistles. He sets himself as a picture of the Lord Jesus himself. He said, we read in 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you has heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul is speaking in the place of our primary example, our perfect example, Jesus Christ. The things we have heard of him, Jesus, among many witnesses, mainly in the scriptures, are to be committed to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And this has been my endeavor in this ministry here, because this is how the ministry is perpetuated. Apostle used three metaphors in showing the disciplines of a Christian man, a Christian minister, as well as a Christian period. One, a soldier, an athlete in a competition, and a farmer laboring in his vineyard. Now, when you consider these three metaphors, you see how these people are in the natural world. Christians are typified in this manner. The practical message was that the soldier is loyal to their commander. We're living in a day where many Christians are lone rangers, mavericks, no commander in chief. A soldier is loyal to their commander. An athlete must be lawful in competition, lest he be disqualified. We use the example of athletes being found with enhancing drugs. And what happened to them? The farmer suffers long. He endures the dew. He endures the heat. He sleeps very little to get up early in the morning, awaiting his fruit. And these are metaphors that you and I should consider. Some of us walk in here like at the last minute, you know, not prepared. If the farmers was like that, you wouldn't get your corn. You should see them in Zimbabwe that have little to work with, and yet they're already like Freddy in their fields. So these are the metaphors. But in the verse we are looking at today, Paul moves from the exhortation to assurance. He's showing us that you and I, if we are believers, have a sure foundation. A sure foundation. Here we find the apostle. There's great assurance given to Timothy. Verse 19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, the New King James says. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knows, not in the way we use the word know. He knows about us. He knows that I'm going to have on this blue tie today. No, that's not how the word is used. The Lord loves those who are His. I hope you take note of this. The Lord knows everybody. The Lord knows who are not His. But He knows who are His in a particular manner. And the next sentence qualifies what those that are His will do. The foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ keep on departing. Or it is in the active tense. Keep on departing from iniquity. That's God's people in this world, brethren. Oh, these are words of assurance to every child of God. If we didn't have a sure foundation to stand upon, what would we do as ministers? What would I do? Christians are on a solid foundation. Matthew 7 says that our house is built upon a rock. And that rock, of course, is Christ. That's the foundation that is sure. I think we have been hearing a lot of that from the first couple of chapters in the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, the great truth in this verse is that a Christian will be progressive in sanctification. The apostle says, and let everyone, not the pastor, everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. A lot of you set a higher standard for me, but the same standard you set for me, you should set for yourself. If you expect me to be here in a timely manner on the Lord's day, guess what? You should be here too. You shouldn't set a higher standard for me than for yourself. Everyone, the texts tell us, progress in sanctification. He did not say not let some depart from iniquity, but everyone who names the name of Christ depart and continue to depart. It's a progressive sanctification. The departing is a pattern of life for the believer. In short, this is what progressive sanctification is. Paul said something to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He said, for you know what commandments we give you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Loose living is not protocol for a believer, but holy living. What do you watch? When you're by yourself, the movies you rent, when you're by yourself and no one is looking, the books you read, when you're by yourself, the friends you cherish that would hinder holy living. We are on a solid foundation, brethren. The great assurance Christians have, it's because they are on a sure foundation. There's no assurance in this country today. This country has become very volatile. The laughing stock of the world. Violence around. People can come and sit in front of a church door and sell marijuana, but you dare not say anything to them, because they tell you it is the law. And as I said, these are the politicians you like. No law. I face them every single evening when I walk out the door. I don't say a word. I just walk out with a stone face so that they can see my disposition. If you want to challenge me, you can. This is our world, brethren. This is the world we are called to minister to. We pray for our leaders that we may lead a peaceable life. But we are on a sure foundation. The second assurance Christians have is that they will be progressive in their sanctification. Now, this is not an option, brethren. It's not an option. There must be a growing in grace. There must be a departure all the time from evil. It seems as though every summer it gets a little worse. What more? What more can a woman show on her body? What more can she show? You actually have to put on blinders in this city if you are going to stay holy. You know what I'm talking about. Ladies, be careful. The sharks are ready to swallow you up. So having seen this assurance, this sure foundation, the apostle shows an allegory to consider. Verse 20. An allegory, a parable, an image to consider. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some to dishonor. Paul uses the allegory of a great house in comparing the church. He calls it a great house. He also called the church the pillar and ground of the truth. Why is the church a great house, or considered in the allegory as a great house? Russell is using this allegory in the light of what he had just said about two men that he mentioned in the context who were doing great harm to the church doctrinally. You just have to look at verses 17 and 18, where he says, "And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past. And they overthrow the faith of some." I'm afraid that Hymenaeus and Philetus were billing with wood, hay, and stubble. And sometimes we have to be careful with men in the church. Most of us come out of backgrounds that were not faithful. I trust that when we teach and preach, we dismiss some of those cherished ideas, the phrases that smack out of dispensationalism and Arminianism, need to be forgotten. Let's adopt the method of Calvinistic theology. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hymenaeus and Philetus were leading people astray in the church at Ephesus, a good church. There's great danger in false teaching. The apostle says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and of earth. We must remember we have a mixed multitude in our church. We must remember we have tares and wheat here in this church. Be careful what you're building. The psalmist foresaw the house of God as the joy of the whole earth. Today, this new covenant, Mount Zion, is not a joy to all who occupy it. To some, the church is a burden. A couple hours once in a while given to her. Brethren, we have a great house. We have a great house because of its builder. In the practical sense, reformation takes hard work and dedication over a long period of time. But the gains can be destroyed by a subtle church member or a teacher, Hymenaeus Why is it a great house? It is a great house because of its cost to build. Paul told the elders at Ephesus, therefore take heed to yourselves and to the flock among which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That's the cost. And that's why at times many tears are shed by the servant of God as he prayed, as he labors in the study. Sometimes he pictures the people that he's ministering to, their faces. I know Sister Doris sit right there. I know Sister Jackie sit. I know Marcel sit there. I look across there. I know who to find over there. I know them. And when I travel abroad, I know them. I visualize the people. Everybody ain't going to do that. You got men running around preaching for $300 a hit every Sunday, merchandising the gospel. It's a great house because of its cost to build, brethren. Blood, Christ's blood. We should consider this whenever we come to this church. Why is he acting like that? Because of the cost to build this house, the labor, the years of reformation, the fights, the loss of friendships, the cost. Some of you don't want to lose a friend, so you agree with them, you say nothing to them. They trample all over the ministry, all the doctrines that are established, they trample upon. Don't let this happen in my absence. It's a great house because of the cost. It's a great house because of the message we bring. That's the last point, really. I should have said first, it's a great house because the builder is great. I'll get to that. It's because of the message. We do not bring a carnal message to man. We do not preach health and wealth and prosperity to men. We bring a spiritual message. It's a great house, as I said, because the builder, I said, is great. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Builder is great. The cost is great, brethren. The message we preach is a great message. Or if the word spoken through angels prove steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him, speaking of the apostles. We in the new dispensation have a great message. But as great as this house of God is, always remember that there are diverse vessels in the great house. The apostle says there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Brethren, you and I cannot change this. This would be the case until the Lord comes. You remember the disciples asked the Lord when he spoke the parable about wheat and tares. The disciples were perplexed He said, they said, did you not plant tears? I mean, wheat in your vineyard? Where did the tears come from? The Lord says, an enemy has done this. The enemy is right next to you in the church. An enemy has done this. Do you want us to go and dig them up, root them up? He says, no. Lest when you dig them up, the tares, you also destroy the wheat. Let them grow together. You see, when you interfere with the unconverted in the church, you don't wrest them away. The potential is others might be offended and leave the church. Whenever there's disciplinary measures in the church, the person that is disciplined is not the only one that is affected. Sometimes family members and loved ones are affected. They don't understand the nature of the church. So there, you know what I'm saying? So, no, I'm not speaking if there's gross sin in the church. I'm not speaking about that at all. If there's gross immorality and gross sin, you know, you will let the chips fall where they may. Don't let this be an excuse for you not to say anything. But some of you would go running with that. You know what I'm talking about. Just be careful. Be gentle in your dealings with people. Lest you disrupt the whole apple cart. You don't want to do that. You don't want to throw the baby with the bathtub. But always remember, as great as the house is, you're diverse people. You don't know. They will always be like this. Have you ever stopped, brethren, to consider the greatness of the Lord's house? I believe if we did, we would not treat this great house in the manner some do. Well, there are two things that are before us. Great assurance to Timothy, foundation stands sure. Allegory to consider. The apostle called God's house a great house with a diversity of vessels, tares and wheat growing together. Brethren, we come to our final point, and this is a call to separation. Call to separation. The text says, if any man, 21, therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Apostle, having shown that in this great house there are a variety of vessels, gold, silver, wood, stubble, wheat, tares, however you want to put it. Some to honor, some to dishonor. He calls us. It's an across the board. It's an evangelistic call to the church. If any man, you see, Paul never took anyone for granted. And that's why he used the phrase, any man. If any man, if anyone, as he ministers across the board, if anyone purge himself from these, the New King James says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel to honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Anyone cleanses himself from the latter. From what? Well, it could be the false doctrines that these two were preaching. Could be the iniquity, the sins that were in the congregation. Whatever it is, the apostle calls to separation, to cleansing. Cleanses themselves from what was stated before Paul was speaking of the false teachers, namely the two that I mentioned, and doctrines that were taught, Hymenaeus and Philetus. The word means purge. If any man therefore purge himself from these. But you know, there's only one way, and there's only one means whereby people are purged. Hebrews 9 tells us, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkle in the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? If you and I are going to be given to usefulness, brethren, there must be a whole lot of purging. I took note that at times we do some evangelism, and I don't think anybody ever asks about it, apart from the few that struggle to go. Nobody never asks Pastor how, not once. And yet some of us open a Bible here and don't seem to have a care for evangelism. I took note of that. Christians should be given to usefulness. We should purge ourselves from all of these distractions that we have to serve God. As it did, by the help of God, maybe endeavoring to go again, but he's going with a heavy heart. There's a sense of uneasiness in my spirit. Marcel asked me yesterday, Brian, you all right? You sure? Because I don't see you like this, quiet like this. Wife is the first person to see what you're going through. I'm talking about evangelism. I'm talking about usefulness. Your friends ain't going to say anything. They're afraid. There's only one way that you and I would be useful. Purge ourselves from the filth of this world. Brethren, we are called to be separated. It is only when one is spiritually cleansed that they will be fit for usefulness in this great house. Isaiah the prophet was pronouncing woes left and right, and God said, oh yeah, I'm going to give you a glimpse of myself. And when the coals touch his lips, the Bible says he was purged. And then he asked the question, or he responded to the question, who will go for us? He said, Lord, send me. Isaiah is a tremendous picture of Christ. No one wanted to go. And our Lord said, send me. As a matter of fact, the Lord quoted from Isaiah a couple of times, that same chapter, in the response he was getting when he came with the gospel. You can read the Gospel of John. Is it any different today? Not really. Go say to these people here indeed, and understand not. Make the heart of this people fat, lest they hear with their ear and understand with their heart, and I should convert them. I said, well, hold on. Until the cities be wasted and I have removed men far. This is the message. Judgment. This is a message that we are afraid to tell people about. This is a message we are afraid to tell our church about. Judgment. Gospel hardness is followed by judgment. Remember this. Brethren, this is our thought. for today. If you have come to know the Savior, we have a sure foundation in the Lord Jesus. It's a great assurance to the believer that we are built upon Christ. Our faith is found on Him. We depend on Him. We live for Him. We wait for Him. There's an allegory to consider. Remember that in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but earth. They're not only wheat, but tares in any great house, no matter how great it is. Trinity got them too, just like we have them. But don't think that any house is exempt. What makes it great is because God builds the house. He's the builder. We can't tell Him who to put in the house. We have a great message, though, to bring. Remember, there are honorable and dishonorable vessels. This is the allegory made, but wonderfully, we are called to separation. If any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. This is the call to the church today. This is your call today that are seated here. If any man therefore purge himself, there's only one means of purging, the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, You have helped us again, as unworthy as we are. We pray that as we preach to others, that we would preach to ourselves, lest we be cast away. We pray You will use every word that was spoken in Your name to bring blessing to those who would hear. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.